Good morning! Delighted to be with you all today. I'm at the lake with the door open because the weather's warm, and I think the neighbor's dogs are barking, but we're used to having dogs around, so don't let that bother you. Well, we're going to talk about rejoicing today. That's something we read from time to time, usually once or twice a year, because it's so important. Because we find that no matter what's going on in the world, God has things for us to rejoice about. There are some days when we're very happy about the circumstances, the things we're doing, the way our life is going, and we're happy about that, and that's wonderful. There are other days where lots of things in our lives aren't going the way we want, yet there is still much to rejoice in from God. And the more we learn to rely on the things of God and rejoice in that, the steadier our lives will be. But we all know people who are only happy when the sun is shining, everybody's nice to them, every circumstance in their life is perfect, and when one little thing goes wrong, they get all grumpy and frowny and stay that way for months until circumstances change. That'd be a terrible way to live. You'd be grumpy half or most of the time. But if we learn to rejoice in the goodness of God and all God does for us, then when days are wonderful, we rejoice. When days are okay, we rejoice. When days are terrible and nothing's the way we want, we still rejoice because we know God is there to provide for us and take care of us, so we just don't let anything get to us. So let's start in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, please. This is that the end, towards the end of that record of Jehoshaphat. Whereas, you know, Jehoshaphat's country, Judah, was attacked by three different armies. They were outnumbered 3-1. They didn't know what to do. So they just prayed and said, God, we don't know what to do, so we're looking to you. And God put the Spirit of God on a fella in the crowd. He told them not to worry. God would protect them. They wouldn't need to fight in that battle. So they went out the next morning to the battlefield singing hymns, praising God. And when they got there, all the enemy soldiers had killed each other. And they spent 3 days taking away all the gold and silver and other riches and jewels that were there with the dead soldiers. And it's summed up here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 27, where we read, then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with what? Joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Just the day before, it looked like certain death. They were surrounded 3-1. They did not have the military power to win, and it looked like they'd be totally annihilated. The next day, the battle's over. They didn't have to fight. And they spend 3 days hauling away all the riches. The Lord made them to rejoice. They returned with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice. And this is something to keep in mind when we have tough circumstances, or if you have good circumstances and you want to keep them going. Just keep in mind that God will help you return from whatever challenge you have with joy. He will make you rejoice because of what he does, which is independent of everything else going on in the world. Because in the rest of the world, sometimes people do good things, sometimes they do bad things. Sometimes we do smart things, sometimes we do stupid things. That's just part of living in the world and being people. That's not going to change. But what also doesn't change is God's ability to give you joy and help you rejoice no matter what's going on. Another similar record, Nehemiah 8, where it's in essence after a battle, because, you know, the Babylonians had captured Jerusalem and destroyed the city and taken most of the people captive to Babylon for 70 years. And towards the end of that 70 years, the Persians took over Babylon. And Cyrus, the Persian king, listened to God and sent those from Judah who wanted to go back to Jerusalem. And they rebuilt the temple. But when they rebuilt it, it wasn't near as big or glamorous as the one Solomon had built. So some of the older men who had seen the glorious temple of Solomon cried because it was such a small temple in comparison. And we see that happen in our lives. We get used to something really good and then it ends and then God provides something else wonderful, but it's not quite the same or not quite as magnificent as what we had before. And we can dream about the good old days and how much better things were then. But there's really no sense in that. What we should do is rejoice in the fact that God took care of us and he gave us something. And if that something takes care of our needs and supplies what we need, we should be very thankful and let the past be the past. Because there's always something in the past you liked. There's always something in the past you didn't like. Well, they're both gone. You don't have to have those things in the past you didn't like, and you no longer have the things in the past you did like. But it doesn't matter, because God will provide in the here and now. So Nehemiah 8, verse 10. Nehemiah, the governor there, after they'd rebuilt the temple, and they had this great week-long party of reading the word and rejoicing, Nehemiah 8:10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Don't worry about what happened in the past. Don't worry about what you lost. Be thankful for what God's provided today. Then what he says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's where our strength comes from in our lives too, the joy of the Lord. It can't be the joy of the circumstances. We all have different aspects of our lives, and we try to pray and work and make efforts to get them as good as we can, but they're never going to be perfect, and they're never going to last forever. There will always be some shortcomings in your circumstances, and things will always change. So if we think our strength is in our circumstances, in any aspect of life, we're going to be let down. Because they're never as good as you want. They're never as good as they could be. And they're going to change. But the Lord, he's perfect and he doesn't change. And he's always there. So the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what we want to focus on. So if you feel weak and beaten down and discouraged, just remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy we have from trusting God and knowing he'll take care of us and seeing what he does for us. Don't compare it again to the past, whether good or bad. Don't worry about the future. Just live in the here and now, being thankful that God has provided what we need today. You know, we're in a funny place in our country with the virus and the quarantining. But hey, we have a chair to sit in. We have food to eat. We have coffee to drink. We have this nice electronics so we can talk to each other. We have Bibles to read. Boy, do we have a lot. Compared to some of the people throughout history and some of the people in these biblical records, we just have everything imaginable. Do we have everything we had 4 months ago? No. But look what we do have. 4 months ago was 4 months ago. Now is now. And the joy of the Lord, the joy of seeing what God provides for us and how he takes care of us now, that we have. And that we have to enjoy. Look back with fond memories on good things in the past. Be thankful that the bad things in the past aren't happening anymore, but accept right now that this is your life. God is taking care of you now. This is sort of the baseline of your life right now, and pray that God will add to it and it will grow and get even better. But do it focusing on God. Look at Psalm 5. Psalm 5. Oh, there's a verse I didn't get in my notes, but it says, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Because there are situations where you have to be very patient, and you have to have long-suffering, which is like extreme patience, and you can do it with joyfulness. You don't have to be patient through tough times, and then when everything's better, then you can be joyful. No. Even when things are tough, we have patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And the joy comes from knowing that God will come through for us. These hard times will be behind us. And life will continue to get better. That's a great attitude. And it's very biblical. I think that's in Colossians where it says that. But it's not in my notes. But you guys can find it. Psalm 5. Here we go. Psalm 5. Verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee, what? Rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because thou defendest them, or you protect them, or you cover them so they can't be attacked. We rejoice. We shout for joy because God defends us. He's there to protect us. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So three times in that verse, rejoice, shout for joy, and be joyful. All because God provides. Verse 12, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him, surround him as with a shield. How wonderful. Look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And verse 10. For thou wilt... I always get this verse wrong. I thought I fixed my notes. Oh, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that something? Let's read that again. Let me fix my notes here. There we go. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. And we have God in Christ in us, so we are always in God's presence. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That's what we need to focus on. We as people have a bad habit of focusing just on our circumstances, and then when they're not perfect, we want to get negative. Of course, what we ought to be doing is realizing that when we're with God, there's always fullness of joy because we know he's always going to come through for us. And here's a popular verse we seem to read frequently in Psalm 43 in verse 4. Psalm 43:4. Then I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. He's our, not just our little bit of joy, but our exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. In one translation, it says, God is the source of all my joy. Another translation, it says, God is my joy and my delight. In Hebrew, it literally reads, the gladness of my joy. So God is our exceeding joy, the source of all our joy and our delight. That's why we go to God. He is our joy. You know, a lot of times people have something they really love. Maybe it's a new baby. Maybe it's a new boat. Maybe it's a new car. Maybe it's some activity they enjoy. And they say, this is my baby. This is my joy. This is what I love. And that's wonderful. And when you have that and it's with you and you enjoy it, wonderful. God provided it. But God is the source of all our joy. He's our joy and our delight. He's always there. Because those other things come and go. You know, you have a baby, wonderful. Babies grow up and move out. You have a puppy, wonderful. Puppies grow up, and on the way to it, they chew up everything in your house. And then they become dogs, and then the dogs die. So those things change. A lot of things in life change, but not God. He's the source of all my joy and my delight. Romans 5. We love it when God provides things. We just can't get that excited about what he provided. We have to get more excited about God. Enjoy what he provided. He gave it to you. He wants you to enjoy it. You should. But realize it's going to change one day, but God will still be there. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith, by believing into this what? This grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The hope, looking forward to the glory of God, speaking specifically when the Lord returns. We rejoice in hoping for that. We can look forward to the day when the God of this world is out of business. He's in a lake of fire. And the glory of God will be revealed in all of its fullness. The glory of God is revealed today every time the sun comes up, every time you look up at the stars, every time you see a flower blooming. And so many, many other ways the glory of God's revealed. But the fullness of it will be revealed when the Lord returns after that. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, mental pressures, difficulties, knowing that tribulation works or produces patience. When you have tough times, and you stay faithful to pray, it'll produce patience. And patience will produce experience, and experience will produce hope. And hope is a positive expectation, not just for the return of the Lord, but for everyday life. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for those of us that were perfect. No, none of us were perfect. He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, perhaps, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So let's not sit around thinking about whether we're worthy or unworthy to receive God's grace, or whether we're worthy or unworthy to receive eternal life, or whether we're worthy or unworthy to receive answers to prayer. Just focus on the fact that Jesus Christ made us worthy by giving his blood for us. We're worthy because of what he did for us and because of God's grace, not because of our own works. So if I have a good day and I do everything right and I read the Bible and I pray and I walk in love and I'm really on top of things spiritually, I can be confident that God will answer my prayers. If I have a lousy day and I goof everything up, and I'm not as honest as I should be, I'm not as effective as I should be, and I don't focus on God enough, I can still be confident God will answer my prayers. Because whether I have a good day or a bad day is not what determines whether God takes care of me. What determines God taking care of me is, number one, his love and faithfulness, and number two, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And for all those reasons, God will always take care of us, so we can always rejoice in his goodness. Romans 12, verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave, hold on to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient, or persevering in tribulation. So we rejoice in hope. We rejoice that we can have great confidence, great positive expectation that God will take care of everything we do and ultimately send his son back for us. We rejoice in that. I have a great positive expectation that God's going to get us through this current global crisis and we'll come out on the other end more prosperous, more blessed, and more ready to walk with God than ever before. And because of that, I rejoice. We're patient, or we persevere in tribulation. When you're having a tough day and mental pressure and things are tough, we simply keep persevering. Think of an athlete. Say you're on a football team, and they just knocked you over, and you're lying there on the field. Do you just stop and go home? Or do you get up again and go play the next play? If you want to be a winning football team, you get up off the ground and you go play again. Well, we're going to get knocked down too, but we'll get up and we'll keep going. We just don't stop. So we're persevering in tribulation, and we continue instant in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. We're steadfast with it. We just don't give up. A lot of things in life you have to be steadfast in. If you want to raise a child, or you want to train a dog, or you want to have a garden, you have to be persistent. You have to be steadfast. You have to stay with it, or it'll all unravel. Well, same thing when we pray. We're steadfast in prayer. So we rejoice in hope. We rejoice in looking forward to the grace of God. Philippians 3. One of our favorite verses we seem to come back to. Many of these we come back to every year. Philippians 3 and verse 3. For we are the circumcision, not physically, but spiritually. In the Old Testament administrations, God referred to the believers, his people, as the circumcision, because he required circumcision of the male children. That's no longer required, but it's still sort of symbolically a word God uses to refer to those who are his people. So we are the circumcision spiritually, which do three things. We worship God in the Spirit. We speak in tongues. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. All the things we have available through Christ. We have eternal life. We have Holy Spirit. We have nine manifestations of Holy Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We can pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We're righteous before God because Jesus Christ paid for our sins. You can go on and on about all the things we have. It's sort of like somebody gives you one of those fancy black or gold or platinum credit cards. Think, boy, all the things I can do with that, especially if somebody else is paying the bill at the end of the month, I could do a lot with one of those cards. Well, in a much greater sense, we can do so much being born again and having Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we can always look at the stuff we don't have. We can always get negative about that. Things that have changed, things that we've lost, things that are no longer the way we'd like them. And if we lost something, we have to grieve, we should do that. But at the same time, we have to rejoice in what God has done for us through Christ Jesus. And then this last one, and this is the kicker that I think is a challenge for many, many people. It says, have no confidence in the flesh. We have to deal with people, including ourselves. And we walk in love with them, we try to work with them, but we can't have any confidence in them. Because things in the world, which is things in the flesh, people and everything people do, that's always going to change. So we just don't have any confidence in it. You know, I work with people all the time. I'm sure you all do too. I have situations I deal with, some good, some bad. I have people I deal with, some reliable, some consistently unreliable. So many different things in life. But if I put all my confidence in them, I'd be putting my confidence in the flesh. I don't. I do my best to work with them, but I have no confidence in them. Look at Jesus Christ. He had 12 apostles and many, many disciples. He worked with them, he taught them, he loved them, but he kept his confidence in God. So when they all walked away from him, after he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they disappeared and there was nobody there to support him, he was fine. Because his confidence was in God. And obviously it was a very trying time, very painful. He gave his life for us. He shed his blood for us. But if he'd had all his confidence in his followers, then it might have been very hard for him to complete his ministry. Again, he loved them, he helped them, he taught them, but his confidence was in God. And we have to be the same way. We love the people we're around. We do our best to work with people and be kind to them. If we're in any kind of circumstance or relationship or project or class or job or any activity at all, we do our best to make it work. But ultimately, our trust is in God. So let's read that again. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision, which 1, worship God in the Spirit, 2, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and 3, have no confidence in the flesh. I have found that if I or anybody I talk to is having a very, very tough time in life, they tend to be letting down on one of those three things. They either aren't praying in the Spirit, they aren't rejoicing in what they have in Christ Jesus, or they put all their confidence in people, and the people let them down. But if we worship God in the Spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and just don't have confidence in the flesh, we will be very well. Okay, let's go to Philippians 4:4, just across the page. Philippians 4:4. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Again, we rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in what God has done for us, what the God will do for us, and what he's done for us in the past. We just rejoice in every aspect of God's goodness, past, present, and future. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. We can be very moderate. We can be very patient and understanding. Why can we do that? The Lord's at hand. A lot of people want to get all upset about everything anybody does. Well, we shouldn't. We should be patient, understanding, and moderate to everybody. Because the Lord's here. somebody comes in and tells you how badly they messed up, you might be tempted to just read them the riot act. Well, you shouldn't, because God's here. You just love them and pray for them. What's it say somewhere in Timothy or someplace, you know, that if somebody's having a tough time, try to approach them with great love and patience, because otherwise if you get too tough on them, you'll make it worse for them. Well, that's a good example here. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Then verse 6, be careful, anxious, distracted, worried, freaked out, stressed out. Be careful or anxious for nothing. Now that nothing is a big deal. Because a lot of times people have 10 things going on in their life. And 9 of them, they're okay not being anxious. But there's that one that really, really bugs them. And they want to get anxious about it. Well, it says here, be anxious for nothing. There's nothing so important in the world we should be worried and upset about it. Well, what do we do instead? But in everything, every single aspect of your life, by prayer, asking God for help, and supplication, making very specific requests, with what? Thanksgiving. That's another thing people sometimes have a problem doing. They're praying for whatever issue is really bothering them in life, and they're so worried about it and so negative, they just are just very negative. Yet they should do it with thanksgiving. While I'm praying for this one problem I have, I should be thankful for all the other stuff God has done for me. Because not only is that what God commands us to do, but if I'm taking the time to be thankful for other stuff he's done, it's just going to be a reminder of how faithful God is. You know, you stop and think of all the things you're thankful for. Okay, this one thing in my life is a pain. It's not working out. But God did this for me. God did that for me. He did these 12 other things for me. So certainly he can take care of this one that's bothering me. So again, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and specific prayers, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Then what's going to happen? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. We're never going to figure it out. But it'll descend upon you. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, we all know people that cannot say a positive word. They've got to have something to complain about. I've met people like that. You know, you go up and you say, how are you doing today? Terrible. Well, how's this going? Terrible. Well, isn't this working out? Terrible. You compliment them. You say, that's a nice hat you have on. Oh, this old thing, yeah, blah, blah, it's no good. It makes me look terrible. And they just can't say a positive thing. We all know people like that. Or they love to tell horror stories, war stories. This went wrong at work. This went wrong with so-and-so in my life. And they just want to go on and on and on and on. Now, it's one thing to acknowledge a problem, talk about it, sort of vent a little bit and get it out. It's another thing to continuously just talk negatives. What the word of the Lord is, we should focus on the positive things in life. Think about them. If you got to deal with a problem, deal with it. But don't spend all your time focusing on it. Let's read that again. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So don't spend all your time thinking about those two things that went wrong and the one idiot you have to deal with. Focus on all the things that are going right, and God's promise to take care of your problem. Then verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, for the God of peace shall be with you. Wonderful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Okay. First Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 16. Rejoice how long? Evermore. This is a good little summary. If you haven't figured out what to do this week, these three verses are a good place to start. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. That's how long you rejoice. Evermore. Always. Never quit. Number 7. Pray without ceasing. How long do you keep praying? Without ceasing. In everything give thanks. How many things to give thanks for? Everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I guarantee you, if you want to have a great week, all week, rejoice. And if you have good circumstance around, you can rejoice in that. But even if you don't, you rejoice in the goodness of God and His promises. So you rejoice evermore. You pray without ceasing. You just keep praying. I mean, you may have to, you know, stop to eat and sleep. But basically, pray throughout the week. And in everything, give thanks. Just develop a habit of giving thanks. Wake up in the morning and put your feet on the floor. There's a floor. If you like to wear slippers, you put slippers on and say, thank God I have slippers. You walk in the kitchen, get a cup of coffee. Thank God I have a cup of coffee. You look out the window and the sun is shining. Thank God the sun is shining. Or if you look out the window and it's cloudy and rainy, well, at least there's a nice tree with leaves on it. Or there's grass. Or there's a sky. Whatever it is you can see, thank God for it. And maybe you have a lot of work to do today. Well, thank God you got work to do. I'm going to pray that God helps me with that work. Maybe you don't have any work to do, so you pray that God will get you some work to do. But you always give thanks. What a wonderful week to have. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, just flip over a few pages. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. Don't get all haughty and proud and boastful, because you're rich. Nor trust in uncertain riches. Nothing wrong with having them, but don't put your trust in them. Because as we see in situations like this, where everything financially has gone down very much, they're uncertain. So don't trust in uncertain riches, but instead trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So that's where our trust is, the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy life. We should enjoy the things God's given us. And if we don't have the ones we need, we rejoice in God's love and goodness, and we pray for Him to get the ones we need. And then we enjoy what He gives us. What a wonderful life. One more to wrap up. 2 Corinthians 4. Another section we read from time to time. I'll read it to you in King James, then the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, this service, this way to help God's people, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, verse 8. This is what we want to focus on. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Let me read these last two verses in the New Living Translation. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed and broken. We're perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We're hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. Or like one translation I read years ago, we may be knocked down, but we're not knocked out. And remember that. You're going to have days where you feel knocked down, but you just get up and keep going, trusting in God, rejoicing in His goodness, and looking forward to the excitement of seeing how God's going to take care of you. So Heavenly Father, I thank You for these wonderful saints on the phone and those that are listening to this recording in the future. May You bless them abundantly. May You be there to provide for them. May they be thankful for what You give them richly to enjoy. And may they always look to You, knowing You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that sees and provides and will be there to take care of their every need every day. And when things are tough, may they have great patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, not with dread and despair, not with resignation that life is terrible and will always be that way, but with the great expectation that You will come through for them mightily and things will improve tremendously, as they did for Jehovah and those that returned to Jerusalem with joy because You had made them to rejoice. Thank You for this and Your wonderful love, Your wonderful kindness, and Your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in His name we thank You and pray. Amen.